around a dozen questions or so, and just answer as short or as long as you will. And if there's anything you don't want to answer, please just say so.
You're calling from Kentucky?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Didn't always live here, though. I used to live out in Los Altos when you were with...
You don't talk like a Kentuckian.
Well, I think that's good. Thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. In your first major league start, 1956, you struck out... Pardon me?
Yeah, go ahead. My first start.
Yeah, you struck out 13 Indians and you lost the game.
Yes.
What happened?
I had... Jim Hegan had struck out twice before in a game, and I was getting a little tired. I think it was in the eighth or ninth inning. I forget when he got the hit. But if you remember Jim Hegan, he was a very poor hitter.
Yes.
Probably the weakest hitter on the lineup. And I just grooved the ball in there, and some gun hit a, I guess it was a double in left center. I don't remember every detail, but I didn't do what I was supposed to done, and he creamed it. And I got beat. That was it. Simple as that.
He had pretty good power when he did make contact.
Yes, he did have good power, but I had him looking like a high school kid. That particular day, I was throwing a fastball. I don't know, we didn't have radar at that time, but I was throwing pretty hard. And I struck out. Well, that Cleveland ball club was a hell of a ball club.
Yes, it was.
And I struck most of them out on fastballs.
You must have
and
blown
the next
mine.
Start, I struck out most of the guys on curveballs. But then that's what happened. I grooved one to Hegan, and he hit it, and I got beat 2-1.
Oh, boy. Okay, well, you won your first major league win. You beat the Yankees, which had some pretty good hitters. You almost had a no-hitter.
Until the ninth inning.
Who got the hits?
Andy Carey. Andy Carey was a former college teammate. Not a teammate, but we went to the same college together. He's a little younger than I. Had him two strikes, and he hit the curveball, and hit the rubber on the home plate, bounced straight up in front of the rubber, in front of the home plate. And I waited, and I'm looking in the sun, and the ball came in, and as I caught the ball and threw to first, he crossed first base with the only hit.
Oh, boy.
The rare part about that situation is that Carl Erskine was pitching a no-hitter on the same day in Brooklyn against the Giants.
Huh.
We were both on national television. Back and forth, people were going. Dizzy Dean was doing one of the games, and Buddy Blattner was doing another one. And they hit a home run foul off of him at the last second and went, boom, foul ball was a strike. He pitched his no-hitter. I got beat. I didn't get beat. By the way, I drove in the only one run to nothing, 1-0 off of Turley. And we would have been the first major league accomplishment of two no-hitters on the same day, which they had this last year, but we'd have been the first in the same town, never to probably be duplicated again.
Oh, you were both playing in New York?
We were both in New York.
I'll be doing.
Town, both at the same time of the day. And I ended up on the Ed Sullivan Show as the Fernando Valenzuela sort of that era, of, you know, the big start. And he went on the Steve Allen Show, but both of us acknowledged, and as well as Ed Sullivan acknowledged, that we'd have made, in fact, today they'd still be talking about memorabilia, about this accomplishment.
I bet so.
But anyhow, it was a fluke hit. So that's the way it was.
And with all those big bats in the lineup, Andy Carey would be one you wouldn't think.
The worst hitter, yes.
Yeah.
Like, well, the first game, not thinking back in retrospect, the worst hitter the other team beat me.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that was that. Mantle was my last out. I remember that. And I was tired as hell. You know, in those days, we had to go nine, or we were pussies, pardon my French.
Yes, I understand.
We were weak sisters if we didn't go nine.
Yeah.
So anyhow, okay, did that answer that one?
That did, yes.
Good.
In the minor leagues, I saw you pitch with Oakland. In fact, okay. I remember one time I went up there, you were supposed to pitch, my stepfather took me to a game, you were supposed to pitch, and Alan Gettle pitched, and I didn't even want to stay. I did stay, however.
Okay.
Your control was...
Always a problem.
Yes, you really, at times you were walking nearly a man an inning.
Oh, yeah.
How did you straighten that out?
I straightened it out when I went from the Baltimore Orioles in 57 to Vancouver in the Coast League. And there was a guy named Joe Frazier who was an outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
He actually managed the Mets, if you remember.
I remember him, yeah. He managed Louisville here for a couple of years.
Okay. Joe was playing outfield for us, and I was warm. Bilko was the big star of the Coast League in those days.
Oh, yeah.
I remember Steve Bilko.
Sure.
And I was warming up in the Angels, against the Angels down in L.A., and in fact, Mock was on that ball club, Gene Mock. And Richard sent me down to throw a slider because my curveball was one of the best in baseball. I mean, it broke too far, and in the minor leagues, they'd swing at it, And in the majors, the strike zone got smaller. As each increment I went got smaller. And the hitters were more, you know, educated to laying off. So I needed to throw a strike pitch, which was the slider. I couldn't throw that damn thing. Paul Richards, Al Lobe, everybody in the world tried to teach me how to throw a slider, and I couldn't do it. Harry the Cat Burkeem. So Frazier said, why don't you try it this way? And by God, I struck out 16 guys.
Wow.
And I went from all those walks. In fact, I have a card. It's cute that you ask. I've been collecting my cards because I didn't save all that crap when I was young. I went from the walks that you talk about. Let me give you an idea. Do you have my cards, my Bobicum cards?
I have your records in some old baseball guides.
12 and 7. Yeah, this is it, right? No? Yeah, this is it. I pitched 160 innings. I gave up 112 hits as well. I didn't give up many hits. I struck out 148 men and I walked 89. So I went from 160 innings to 89, and used to be 160 innings to 150 walks. And the slider is what changed me. Now I go to Cleveland, and I became a starter. I was 5-3 in 59, and 58 I did a hell of a job too, which doesn't show in the record. But I pitched some great pitching in 58 and 59 and became an established starter in the league, and I hurt my shoulder. During that period, my control was good. I mean, it maintained, because the slider gave me a strike pitch. I didn't have to worry about, plus it gave me a third pitch. Then I hurt my shoulder. In those days, it was, I guess it was a rotor cuff or whatever the hell, you know what it was, rubbing the dirt, see you later. So after the time I hurt my shoulder, then I lost that extra stuff that I'd had at that time, and it was just another journeyman-type pitcher from then on.
Well, you came back a couple of years later with the Phillies.
Yeah,
and
the Phillies, I led the club in an earned run average.
Yeah.
A horrible team that lost 23 in a row.
Unbelievably bad team.
I lost the first game of that streak. I found subsequent years later, Cepeda hit a grand slammer off me. I really pitched pretty well. I didn't have the great stuff, but I had better than average stuff.
Your record was not the best on the team, but your overall...
5-12, no. Well, nobody could win on that team. Honey, I'm long distance, so you have to take a message. Who is it? Yeah. I'm on... No, just tell them I'll call them back. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a horrible team. I mean, hell, they had... Pancho Herrera was our cleanup hitter, and I was a better hitter than he was.
Speaking of your hitting, I remember seeing in the Coast League, 54, you had a big year pitching, and you had a big year hitting. You hit 300, if I remember correctly.
I did, and I just saw that in a PCL thing. I drove in... I got 12 pinch hits.
Did you really?
Yeah. I didn't know that. I didn't remember. I know Dressen was trying to get me to the big leagues any way he can. He and Jim Marshall and I. Remember Jim Marshall?
Sure.
He was my roomie, and so he was trying to get us in there. Yeah, I hit 300. In fact, I was going to pitch a hit for Cleveland with Joe Gordon, and when I hurt my shoulder, even though it didn't affect my hitting, then they weren't going to hit me anymore. But I hit three doubles in one game. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
I have an American League record for hitting for pitchers, which is tied Babe Ruth and Walter Johnson.
That's good company.
A couple others.
Yeah.
Of three consecutive extra base hits. And I did it in 59 in Comiskey Park against Dick Donovan.
And you were with Cleveland then?
I was with Cleveland in 59.
Did you get all three hits off Donovan?
Yeah, all three off Turkey. And it won through game 3-0. I think I drove in two of the three runs. Cute story. Am I talking too long?
No, fine, great.
All right, cute story on that. As Sherman Lawler was the catcher, Donna was the pitcher, right? I get up the first time, hit a double, drove in a run. Second time I came, hit another double, drove in another run. Third time, Lawler says, lefty, I'm going to knock you right on your butt. You're hitting too good. I said, Sherman, all you got to do is throw me curveballs. I can't hit curves. Get me out of here. I don't want to run the bases. So here comes the big fat curveball, and I set him up for it, and I hit that son of a gun about 400 feet in left field for the third double, and he yelled at me all the way around the bases. It was cute. You set me up, you little son of a gun. Anyhow, pitchers like to talk about their hitting.
Sure they do. Change the subject real quick. I've got a son who's a college pitcher right now. He calls up. He tells me how he's hitting it. He doesn't mention how he can pitch. So that's always and always will be.
You bet.
You hit a home run in the majors playing for the Cardinals.
Yes.
You remember it?
Oh, sure.
Who was it off of?
Off of Jim Owens.
Oh, yeah, that's a good pitcher.
The Bear, and it was on the upper deck in Connie Mack Stadium.
Wow.
And And the next time I came up, he threw me the same pitch, and I just fouled that thing off. I should have hit it again. But you know, it amazed me because I'm, you know, as you know, I'm only 5'9".
Right.
But I had real good power, even in the minor leagues. In fact, in high school, I was, I won the Oh, there's something you got to know. I won the Lou Gehrig Memorial Trophy as the most valuable player in the United States in 1947.
No, I didn't know that.
In this game, just to give you a quick synopsis, the reason why I'm fresh on this is I'm doing a career day at our local school here, and I went through and researched all this stuff.
Yeah.
Because you forget. Anyhow.
Sure.
They had the best players from each major city in the United States, and every year the Hearst newspapers sponsored a game in the Polo Grounds.
Uh-huh. I remember
this
those.
Particular year, we had 11 guys that made the major leagues. Moose Scarron, Dick Groat, Harry Aganis, who died, and I don't know, on and on, Bob Grimm. There was all kinds of guys. Anyhow, I pitched three, and you could only pitch three innings. I pitched a no-hitter, struck everybody out, and hit a double. So I was unanimously voted the Lou Gehrig Memorial Trophy of 1947, which signified the number one player in the United States at that level. And that was quite an honor.
I bet it was. Were you 18 then?
I was 18.
Yeah, that's that can only happen to one man a year.
You got it.
Okay, who in your time in the majors or minors, who was the best player you saw?
Mickey Mantle.
No question?
No question in my mind. I pitched against them all. I was fortunate with Mays and Musial and Williams.
Sure.
Williams, quite obviously, was the best hitter. And the reason why I say Mantle is because with his physical limitations, he was superhuman. He did things. In fact, somebody wrote me, they did a book on all the home runs.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I saw the book.
And he hit one off of me in 56 the year he won the Triple Crown. And was there anything that I remembered about that home run? I said, yes. I said that I'd had him 3-2 in Yankee Stadium. The left field bullpen was 405. I fooled him because I didn't have a good change, but I threw it because he was so damn good. And I totally fooled him with one arm, with his forearm, he hit it 415 feet.
Oh, boy.
And it was just absolutely, everybody in the dugout went, wow, you know. But the things that he did with his ability was far beyond a Mays or these other guys who were all-time greats also. So in that context, is if he was healthy, he would have stole every damn base. In fact, he hit a single through the box on a ground ball to center field in the 12th inning, and we looked up, and he was standing on second base. Now, the chemistry of the game is usually around first and go back.
Sure.
He was standing on second base. It's not human to do, and he did it.
I understand he was the fastest man from home to first ever.
Yep. He'd be limping everywhere, but boy, when he came to run, and he protected himself. Because he had that osteomyelitis, and he was afraid he was going to die.
Yeah.
In fact, I was out with him one night, you know, and it's the same old comment you hear from everybody. If I'd have known I lived that long, I'd have taken better care. But he believed that because all his family members, male members, died early.
Yeah.
Anyhow, go ahead.
Remember J.W. Porter?
He was my roommate.
Was he really? I talked with him a few months ago. He said in 1956 Mickey Mantle was the greatest player that ever played the game at any time ever.
In fact, Jay was my roommate at Cleveland. And he's from Oakland. He's my area.
Uh-huh.
He set the record for pass balls in one inning with Wilhelm.
He told me about it, yeah. Yeah, he told me.
I was on that club, and instead of trading Porter, they traded Wilhelm because nobody could catch him. And he went over to Baltimore, and that's when Richards came up with that big fat glove.
Yeah, I've seen pictures of that glove. That's really something.
Yeah.
Who was the best pitcher you saw?
Koufax. I played with Gibson.
Uh-huh.
Played with Robin Roberts. Koufax, totally. Now, Herb Scorer would have been as good or better if he didn't get hit. And I think any hitter that you're going to interview will tell you that faced him. Because his ball moved better than Koufax. But Koufax had the good overhand curveball. By the way, Marshall told me, and three other guys told me, that my curveball was better than his. Pumpsy Green?
Sure.
We had a reunion last summer, and I was very flattered to hear that. But anyhow, he totally dominated a ball game. His record speaks for itself.
Well, now, I don't know if they clocked Koufax, and I know they didn't.
I don't think we did it.
They were just getting into it. I know they didn't clock
now,
you.
You know, I'm scouting for Kansas City as part time.
Uh-huh.
And they got all these scouts and college guys that got these clocks. As an old time pitcher, I say that the movement on the ball is far superior than this. How fast does he throw crap?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's over dramatizing the game. But, of course, when you're throwing like Nolan Ryan, that, or 95, not 100 miles, that's a different story. But the speed of the ball is not as important as the movement on the ball. Good hitters.
Definitely. You throw 90 miles an hour and the ball's straight, those boys are going to get around
that. They get paid to hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now, I remember when you were pitching, I was a kid, but I remember, and I was a pitcher myself, and I did get scouted. That's as far as I ever got. But I watched pitchers. I tried to learn. I was right-handed, of course, but you threw the ball awful damn fast.
Yeah.
And I do remember your curve. It was fantastic. Why were you not a big winner at the major league level?
Inconsistency. There's several reasons, and I thought about this, and everybody that played with me in the early stages asked me this, and now that I'm older, I think I can reflect a little better. There are several reasons. Once I got to the big leagues, as I told you, and I learned how to throw the slider, and I became an established starter, I was on my way to becoming, and I was 29 years old at that time, to becoming a regular on a higher level. Like, they rated me. In fact, one of these articles I searched, Joe Gordon and Mel Harder rated me with Pearson Ford. So did Harry the Cat Burkeen, said that I had a better curveball than Pierce and a better fastball than Ford.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, why didn't I accomplish that? I hurt my shoulder, for one thing. Earlier, I was inconsistent, and one of the reasons I was inconsistent is because of my size. In those days, even now, you got to be a certain age, and it didn't look like I was as strong as I was.
Mm-hmm.
So I would go a start, and then it would be 10. In fact, if I could look through that, I don't have records of that. When you have to pitch every 2 weeks, the pressure is on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't do good, you may not pitch for another 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And so getting back to the pressure, however you want to do it, maybe I didn't handle it properly within myself, which I was very, very sensitive as a pitcher. I wasn't the typical crazy left-hander that you hear about. And so that, I hurt myself within myself. But looking back, not to make an excuse, I think the fact that the pressure was put on, if they'd have given me, in fact, I'll give you an idea. Paul Richards vowed to make me a major league star. He would have me, he overcoached me, and now I coached 10 years in college, so I understand, only trying to help me, not to hurt me, but he got me cuckoo. When I left Baltimore and went to Cleveland, the first thing I saw was my pitching coach was Harry the Cat, and he says, "Boy, I bet you feel like you're getting out of jail, don't you?" And I said, "Yes, you're right, because Joe Gord says, here's the ball, throw the damn thing, don't worry about it." Okay, and that's when I became up to my level of ability that I had. See, one of the things a fan sent me in the 59th season, I was at, when I got hurt, I was leading the American League in strikeouts, ERA, and tied for wins with Whitey Ford on May 11th, I think it was. And I had one bad inning and whatever the hell, 100 and some odd innings. So I had arrived, but then the injury, and then I didn't pitch the rest of the year except for a couple innings.
Mm-hmm.
So that hurt me. But and then after I got hurt, then I didn't have that extra good stuff that put me on the higher level.
Yeah, just brought you back to the other pitchers.
So I don't want to make excuses. I didn't do it, and I'm frustrated, but that's what happened.
Well, it does happen. It's a shame.
Yeah,
it
cost me a lot of money.
I bet it did.
Yeah. I get a pension every month, so it's something. I just got a raise, by the way, 50% raise.
Oh, that's always good. No matter what you get, 50% is a lot more. You mentioned your baseball cards. Did you save souvenirs?
Did I sell them?
Did you save your souvenirs when you put from
them? Not many. I didn't, you know, to hell, it didn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I've got an old uni. I've got a few things, but not a whole lot. My son has a horse collar that I got for shedding out the Yankees. That was a thing he's got in his office. I didn't save a whole lot.
Do you consider that your best game, the Yankee one-hitter?
Under the circumstance, having the Yankee team that was, you know, they hadn't been beaten in a year and a half, I think, shut out in a year and a half by a left-hander. And with the team they had, it was quite a game. But I tell you, the best game I pitched was the year before, and J.W. Porter caught me. It was a 12-inning game that I got beat 1-0, and I pitched the whole 12 innings. I walked in Dick Williams with the winning run in the 12th inning.
Oh, boy.
And I don't remember, I don't have any statistics, because I don't think I kept track of that, but I think they only got three or four hits off me in the whole 12 innings.
Was that Dick? Was he with Baltimore then?
Dick Williams was with Baltimore, and I had the bases loaded in the 12th inning, and he yelled out to me, "I'm not going to swing at a ball," and went out there and crouched, and shit, I threw four balls and walked in. I lost the game 1-0.
Oh, boy.
And when I was warming up, Porter couldn't catch me. My fastball was moving so much like Koufax's, which it always didn't do, but it was so fast that the goddamn catcher couldn't catch me.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's another reason why I wasn't a big star. I didn't have consistent fastball at all times. My curveball was always good to great, and my fastball, maybe because of my physical or maybe because of whatever, was inconsistent. So therefore, I didn't have two super major league pitches at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Although, looking back at my record, they didn't hit a lot of home runs off of me. And they didn't get a lot of hits, but my big thing was, of course, walks.
Well, in the minor leagues, they were only getting like six hits a game against you.
Yeah, it wasn't much.
And in the majors, it was still, I think, less than seven if you figure out your total career. You were not hit.
I wasn't hit hard, no.
Yeah. Do you get much fan mail today?
Yeah.
You respond?
More and more.
Do you?
In fact, I got a guy from Kansas City. I got a picture with Eisenhower. That the ball was the 1 millionth ball thrown out as the presidential toss out of Washington.
Uh-huh.
And I caught the ball in 57, and that ball was autographed by Ike and myself and put into the Hall of Fame as the 1 millionth ball used in Major League Baseball. Nothing through my accomplishments.
No, but you're there.
And that picture with Ike and I, there's a guy that works for the federal government out of Kansas City called me last week, and we're going to put him $2,500 and sell him for $25 a piece, and he's going to give me some money out of it.
Wow.
I said, hell, I'll take it.
Sure. Both on that.
Baseball memorabilia, and I was invited to my first bubblegum show, card show, up in Walnut Creek, California last summer, and it amazed me at the interest there is, and particularly in the adults.
Oh, it's tremendous interest.
It's neat.
This is going to appear, once I get it typed up, in a magazine called Sports Collector's Digest. Are you familiar with that?
Not really. No.
It's a weekly publication. It's geared toward card collectors.
Are you going to send me a copy?
Oh, by all means. I'm going to send you as many as you want. How many would you like?
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Okay, I can say three or four anyhow.
Yeah,
one of the side effects of the interviews I do is the subject ends up getting an increase in fan mail for a period of a month or so.
I see.
Some guys have said that their fan mail is actually increased 10 or 15 fold for a period of a month.
Yeah.
So you might be swamped. I hope you don't mind that.
No, I don't mind at all. I think it's a privilege just to be asked.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think that's a great attitude.
I resent about the young players. Their attitude is pretty rough collectively from what I hear.
My son's tried to collect I've written some of the players I've liked for autographs over the years and always gotten responses from the players when I was a kid. My son writes the guys he likes today, and I doubt if 1 in 5 answer him.
Yeah.
It's got to be very frustrating.
It's a new ball game. We were happy to be there, you know. It was a privilege. Of course, we worked our way up. Hell, we worked, you know, I struck out 286 men one year in a C League, and they gave me a choice of staying there or going to the next, to a B League.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it was. Could you imagine if I had struck out 286 men in this era?
You wouldn't have had a chance because they'd have moved you up to the majors.
Oh,
the next.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things. Kids going to the majors now with 3 and 4 records in Double A because they look like they might have something.
You bet.
You played for a lot of managers. Who was the best one?
The best one that helped me get to the big leagues was Charlie Dressen. Even though he's an egotistical little son of a gun, he made me from a minor league C, you know, a low minor league, to a AAA pitcher. That's when the year I won 18 games. That was the year when he got fired from the Dodgers because
mm-hmm.
he asked for a multi-year contract, if you remember that scenario.
Right. Yes.
And he and Cookie Lavaggetto came to Oakland, and Marshall and I were his project, so he got me to the big leagues. As far as major league managers, surprisingly, Joe Gordon was the best for me, although I did the best for him collectively, because he let me play the game and he didn't get me too caught. See, Mock, I played for Mock and Richards and Lopez and those guys. Great managers. Casey Stengel, by the way, signed me.
Oh, I didn't know
that. Oakland before he ever got to the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He signed me personally. And but Joe was, for me personally, Mock was smart, but I don't know. What do you hear about Mock from the other people?
Mock, a lot of people don't really... I mean, I'll put this in
a sarcasm. Well, now that you're going to say it, I'll say it for you. He was a sarcastic little fart.
Yeah, they didn't like him.
No.
He knew baseball. Everybody thinks he knew baseball probably as well as anybody they ever met. But and a lot of guys said that, and they never said that they didn't personally, but they say a lot of guys on the team wouldn't play for him.
No, he was he didn't relate well. I played against him as a player a lot, and he was tough then. But anyhow, he's got a reputation of being one of the great managers, but not in my eyes.
He's got a less than 500 record. He never won any kind of championship. I don't know.
I agree.
I wouldn't dare to see.
He outdumbed him. You heard of guys outsmarting himself. He outdumbed himself.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of that going around, I'm afraid. Okay, just a couple more questions, yeah. Don. Emmett Ashford, remember him?
Oh, Emmett is at my house for dinner as guest before he passed away. He spoke at a function here, Kiwanis Club function, and he was I was his host. Yeah, I remember Emmett very well.
What do you think of him as an umpire?
Emmett was not mechanically was not a good umpire. Colorful as heck, conscientious, tried, likable. His strike zone was terrible, and I told him that years later. He'd call strikes that went around the plate and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I was with him in the minors, and I was with him in the majors.
Was there ever a more colorful umpire?
No. Tremendous. He was straight called strikes twice. Nice man. Sorry to hear his passing.
This is a question that may be hard for you to answer. Based on his performance as an umpire, and other people have told me this too, that he was not the best umpire they ever saw. Based on what he had to go through, he was the only black umpire in every league he was in for years and years and years. Does he have a spot in the Hall of Fame? Should he?
Well, certainly, I think that would be a consideration because of the accomplishment, not because of the ability, as you say, but because of his accomplishment, because he took a lot of crap. He sure did.
I've been told that nobody ever ever saw him react to anything that anybody said to him other than good-naturedly. Is that true?
Yeah, good-naturedly. Yeah, we used to tease the hell out of him. He had a girlfriend, I don't know what her name was, but at Oakland before he went to the big leagues, and Mr. Ashford, and we tease him all through. See, in our day, we could tease the umpires.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's another thing that's changed. You can't talk to those
guys.
Can't
even look at them cross-eyed anymore.
They're arrogant.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun. That's another thing why the kids nowadays, we had fun. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
I was paid to play. My little old $15,000 salary didn't mean a thing. Okay.
All right, two more questions, and then we're through. Would you do it again?
Okay.
Would you do it all again, the whole thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Do you have any regrets?
Yeah, that I wasn't a bigger star. With the ability that I had, and you know, I'm only saying this humbly because the guys that played with me have reflected this to me as the years have gone by, as they indicated before. When they see me, they all say, man, I couldn't hit you with an ironing board and, you know, this and that. And, yes, I had major league star quality, and I did not. In fact, I got a call from somebody that Sparky Anderson was being interviewed on a TV set somewhere in the United States, and my name was mentioned as one of the big disappointments as far as not achieving stardom with the ability that I had.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a great regret for sure.
Well, that's a shame. But you did make it. There's a whole lot of guys never did.
It is a big, big name star, yes.
Just thought of something else I was going to ask real quickly, and it escaped me that fast. It must not have been too important. Okay. Well, that covers it, Don. I really appreciate your time. I hope I haven't messed up your work day.
Okay. No problem.
Would you like to see a copy of this before I submit it?
No, I don't give a damn.
Okay, so a lot of guys...
discriminate me, are you?
I'll quote you. I won't say anything you didn't say. In fact, I probably won't say a few things you did say.
Okay.
I don't want to, you know, have this too many people...
Yeah, well, I don't want, like, for instance, Mock. I don't want anything...
Oh, no, I don't... Too many people are trying to find somebody to say something bad about somebody. I don't want to do that. I just want an interview. I want the fans to read it, see what the ballplayer's like, see how he thinks.
Sure.
But
well,
no.
I think I've answered you as honestly as I can, so we'll go from there.
I will send you, it'll probably be 6 months before it's printed. That's the way they usually lapse, 4 to 6 months. But we'll send you 3 or 4 copies when it does come out.
Okay, thank you. Good
luck. Thank you, Don, very much.
Bye-bye.
Bye.